Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. How Poetry Can Change Your Heart by Andrea Gibson is an inviting guide for readers who suspect poetry can do more than decorate a page. Positioned within a practical how-to series, the book treats poems as lived experiences that can steady you, unsettle you, and ultimately widen what you can feel and name. Gibson, known for emotionally direct work and a strong performance poetry sensibility, approaches reading as a relationship rather than a test. Instead of emphasizing academic jargon, the focus is on attention, empathy, and the small shifts that happen when a line lands at the right moment. The book speaks to newcomers who feel intimidated by poetry, as well as seasoned readers who want to reconnect with why poems matter. It also offers value to writers who want to understand what makes language move through the body. Overall, it frames poetry as a tool for inner change and communal connection. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, poetry as an emotional practice, not an academic puzzle. A central idea in the book is that poetry is not primarily a subject to master, but an experience to enter. Many people approach poems expecting a hidden answer, then feel excluded when they cannot decode meaning quickly. Gibson reframes that anxiety by treating feeling as a valid form of understanding. If a poem makes you tense, soften, laugh, or remember, you are already in conversation with it. This approach encourages readers to notice their own reactions before chasing interpretation. The book also highlights how poems can be read for resonance, tone, image, and movement rather than for a single correct takeaway. That shift reduces intimidation and increases curiosity because it gives you permission to stay with uncertainty. In practice, this means reading slowly, rereading, and listening for what changes in you across passes. It also means allowing contradictions, since poems often hold more than one truth at once. The result is a healthier relationship with literature. You learn to trust your attention and your heart as part of the reading process, not as obstacles to it. Secondly, learning to read with the body, voice, breath, and listening, Gibson is widely associated with performance and spoken word. And that sensibility informs a theme of reading poetry as something you can hear and physically register. The book emphasizes that poems are built from sound as much as sense. Rhythm, pauses, line breaks, and repetition shape meaning by shaping breath. When readers shift from silent scanning to voiced reading, they often discover emphasis, humor, and tenderness that were invisible on the page. This topic also underscores listening as a skill, listening to the poem, to your own response, and to the lived experiences that poems carry. Reading aloud can reveal where language accelerates, where it aches, and where it asks you to stop. It can also help readers notice craft without technical vocabulary, because the ear catches patterns the eye overlooks. For people who believe they dislike poetry, this method can be a breakthrough, making poems feel less like riddles and more like conversations. It also opens a pathway for accessibility and connection, since sharing a poem aloud can create intimacy and mutual recognition in families, classrooms, and communities. Thirdly, permission to feel, how poems expand empathy and self-knowledge. Another major focus is how poetry changes the inner life by expanding what you can feel safely and clearly. Poems often name emotions people avoid, such as grief, shame, longing, or awe, and they do so with compression that makes those emotions easier to carry. Gibson presents poetry as a space where tenderness and honesty are not weaknesses, but sources of strength. By encountering another voice telling the truth, readers may find language for experiences they had kept vague or hidden. This can increase self-knowledge, because naming is a form of seeing. It can also increase empathy, because poems invite you into perspectives you may never live firsthand. The book's approach suggests that empathy is not only moral, but practical. It changes how you handle conflict, how you show up for others, and how you forgive yourself. Importantly, the reader is encouraged to approach intense poems with care rather than force. You can step back, reread later, or choose poems that meet you where you are. Over time, the practice builds emotional range, helping readers feel more human, not more fragile. Fourthly, finding your own canon. Choosing poems that meet your life, rather than prescribing a single list of must-read classics, the book supports the idea that each reader can build a personal poetry life. That means seeking poems that speak to your identity, your questions, your relationships, and your current season. Gibson's stance reduces gatekeeping by validating contemporary voices, diverse traditions, and the reader's own taste. The topic includes the idea that you do not need to like every poem, and disliking a poem can still teach you what you value in language. Readers are guided toward exploration, browsing poets, sampling styles, and noticing which pieces you return to. This helps create a sustainable habit, because people stick with poetry when it feels like nourishment rather than homework. A personal canon can include page poets, spoken word artists, song lyrics adjacent writing, and hybrid forms, as long as the work deepens attention and feeling. The broader point is that poetry is not a museum you visit rarely, but a shelf you can keep building for daily use. By curating intentionally, readers make poetry more accessible, relevant, and enduring. Lastly, from reading to living, using poetry for courage, healing, and action, the book also emphasizes that poetry's impact is not confined to private reflection. Poems can be catalysts for courage, healing, and even public action because they clarify values and make invisible experiences visible. Gibson's approach suggests that when a poem breaks your heart open, it can also open your eyes to what matters, who's hurting, and what you are willing to protect. This topic includes the idea that poetry helps people survive hard seasons by offering companionship and perspective. A poem can function like a hand on the shoulder, reminding you that others have endured similar storms. It can also serve as a practice of attention, which improves daily life by making you more present to small beauties and quiet truths. For creatives, the book's ideas encourage moving from passive consumption to active engagement, keeping a poem nearby, sharing one with a friend, journaling after reading, or attending readings. These actions turn poetry into a living tool. The change is subtle but cumulative, shaping how you speak, how you listen, and how you choose to meet the world. In conclusion, this book is for readers who feel curious about poetry but do not know where to start, as well as for longtime poetry lovers who want to reconnect with the emotional and human reasons they read. It is also a strong fit for writers, teachers, and facilitators who want language for describing what poems do in real life, beyond analysis and terminology. The benefits are practical. You can learn to approach poems with less fear, more patience, and more trust in your own response. That shift can improve your daily life by increasing emotional clarity, strengthening empathy, and providing a reliable source of comfort and inspiration during difficult seasons. Compared to similar books that lean heavily on academic interpretation, this one stands out for accessibility and immediacy. It encourages you to read poems as experiences that can be heard, felt, and shared, which makes the habit easier to sustain. The author's background in performance and emotionally direct writing also helps bridge the gap between contemporary spoken word culture and page-based poetry. For anyone wanting a kinder, more empowering way into poetry, it is worth buying as a guide you can return to repeatedly. If you would like to support Andrea Gibson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.